night, went into the hospital. It was at night, I think later at night, so she's in the hospital. So just pray for Luann's mom. Nancy is her name. Just for God to watch over her and heal her. So she went in last night. Vic told me this morning. And one thing I forgot to mention, it's been a crazy week, and if you tried to get a hold of me last night, my phone is broken, so I'm going to get a new one tomorrow, hopefully. So if you try to call me and it says, not available, that's why, okay? Kelsey's like, you better get a new phone because you're a preacher and people are going to call you. So I was like, do I have to? No. But that's why if I don't respond, that's why. So let's pray for things on our mind. And the camp going to start this afternoon for the young kids. So let's continue to keep praying for the camp as well as their season is underway. And kids are just going to learn about Jesus and grow in their faith. So let's pray. Yes. Sorry. Thank you for bringing that up. If you haven't heard, Sherma passed away this past week, and just pray for the family. Funerals tomorrow at Riverdale. Okay, funerals tomorrow at Riverdale. So let's pray for. Okay, so let's pray for that family. Anything else? Let's go to God. Oh, Lord, thank you so much for being a God who hears us when we cry out to you. You are holy and you're just, you're righteous. Thank you so much for allowing us to gather in this place together, this safe place that we can come and worship you, adoring you of who you are. God, be with these requests that are before us. Be with Sherma's family as the funeral is tomorrow. But I just pray that you would surround that family with your loving arms and protection and comfort at this time. Be with Luann's mom, Nancy, as she had to go into the hospital last night. But again, be with her. Continue to surround them with your love at this time. God, there's probably so many things that we can think of, and I think of the camp season that's underway. Just bless Rock Lake with a good summer, with kids that are excited to be there, and the faculty and staff as they and the deans of all the weeks. May those weeks just be fruitful and blessed by you, and many transformations will happen in the lives of young people, and even in the lives of staff and faculty. God, thank you for this church family and just the blessing it is to be a part of a church family. I pray for us as we look forward to the rest of this year and into 2027, may you give us a desire and passion to invite people to say, come and see what it's all about. God, thank you for your word that's being proclaimed in many places, even right now. Thank you for the missions we support, and I pray that those monies that we support them with will further the gospel message, not just in Michigan, but around the country and around the world. May you bless them and at this time and in the work that they're doing for you and the kingdom. God, thank you for all who are here and online listening. May you just surround us and give us a sense of peace and comfort even at this moment and allow us to put away the distractions in our mind that things are coming later, but help us to be focused on the moment right now, worshiping and hearing from you. Thank you that we remember Jesus around the table. We look forward to the day he's coming back. Help us to live in light of that. In his precious, wonderful name we pray. Amen. You can go to Genesis 21. We'll get there in a few moments. Like I said, this week was, when you come back from vacation, it's kind of hard sometimes to get back into the routine of things. And then, you know, when your phone breaks, your mower blows up, and things like that happen, it kind of, discombobulates yourself a little bit. But the title, as you see there, company, have you been in good company lately? Anybody? Our vacation, we had all of Kelsey's family in one house. It was crazy, but good company. It was fun and good. But as we come to this passage, I want to start like this. This is from the words of Douglas McKelvey, and it's, upon experiencing cheering laughter, he writes this, I praise you, O God, for these inexplicable gifts of mirth and merriment and laughter, delighting in such foretaste of the wellsprings of eternal joy that ever bubble and flow within your glad Trinity. Later you'll hear some more laughter in the story of Abraham. Company, if you don't know the definition, I love definitions, you know that by now. It says this from the New Oxford American Dictionary. Company means this. There's many, several definitions, but here's three of them. The fact or condition of being with another or others, especially in a way that provides friendship and enjoyment. Can you think of good friends right now that you enjoy spending time with? Another definition, a person or people seen as a source of such friendship and enjoyment. And another definition, a number of individuals gathered together, especially for a particular purpose. I think of right now, we are in a particular place for a particular purpose to worship God and learn from Him. But in this text, you're going to hear laughter. You're going to hear company and what good company is. And we're going to expand on that. And if you want, just a heads up, for our next sermon series is from Galatians. And the title is going to be No Other Gospel, because there's only one gospel. And in Galatians chapter 4, 21 to 31, you have Hagar and Sarah together. And Paul explains who Hagar and Sarah and the importance of both in light of the gospel. In Galatians chapter 4. So our next sermon series is going to go to Galatians, fitting that we're going to talk about what we'll get to in Galatians later on in the year today. Just wanted to plug that in if you're excited for another book of the Bible series. So company. You're going to find out what good company is, I hope, in this text. Let's read from Genesis 21. Are you excited to hear God's word today? Are you thankful? Are you excited? Are you ready? Like I said, I might not read all, but you'll get the drift of the theme of the passage. Here's Genesis 21. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. She added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. The child grew and was weaned, and on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham had a great feast, which we'll have later. But Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham was mocking. And she said to Abraham, get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac. The matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son, but God said to him, do not be distressed about the boy and your slave woman. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the slave into a nation also, because he is your offspring. Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders, and then sent her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat down about a bowshot away, for she thought, I cannot watch the boy die. And she sat there, began to sob. God heard the boy crying. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation. Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. While he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt. And then Abimelech and Abraham makes a treaty with Abimelech in Beersheba. And at the very end, so the place was called Beersheba, verse 31, because the two men swore an oath there. After the treaty had been made at Beersheba, Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his forces, returned to the land of the Philistines. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there he called on the name of the Lord, the eternal God. And Abraham stayed in the land of the Philistines for a long time. Are you thankful for God's word? We're going to learn about company today. God, help us to listen to what the Spirit has to say from this text. Help us to learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Company. So verses 1 through 7, we have the birth of Isaac. We've been waiting for this a long time, right? In the story of Abraham, we've been waiting for this promised son for a long time. And now it's finally here. And what does it start with? Now the Lord was, everybody say that next word, gracious to Sarah. Gracious. Hebrews 11:11 sheds some more light on Sarah, because remember earlier when she hears from, remember she's in the tent and she hears this and she laughs, not a good laugh. This time it's going to be a good laugh. But she gets that and we're like, okay, does she believe or not? But Hebrews writer writes this, which sheds light on Sarah. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. So according to the Hebrews writers, she had faith. Amen? She had faith and she considered God faithful who made the promise, because God made the promise to her and now it's finally fulfilled and she has faith according to the Hebrew writer. The Lord was gracious to Sarah. It could be like this. The Lord visited her graciously. The Lord went to Sarah to take care of her, to look after her. That's other translations of that word. Do you ever get a visit from somebody that's just a gracious visit? Have you experienced that? That you didn't expect and it was just like, oh man, thank you for that visit. The Lord is coming to Sarah and visited her and was gracious to her on his promise. Verse 2, that's verse 1. Verse 2, I love this wording too, because the verse 1, it says, the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. And then verse 2, it says, at the very time had promised him. So in verses 1 and 2, you have it three times. Gracious there, as he said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. And then verse 2, at the very time God had promised him. So that's it's happening at this time because God was faithful. God promised it. It happened. The set time, the appointed time. The Lord is always good on his promises. Amen, amen, amen. Can you tell I'm excited? Because God's word is exciting. God's always faithful to his promise. He didn't say, well, I did say that, but you're too old. I'm not going to do it. No, he said, I'm gracious and it's happening today. God's faithful to his promise. We just have to wait on it sometimes, right? I'm waiting for him to come back. Been waiting for 41 years. Maybe not 41, but since I was 11. 30 years of being a Christian, and you're just waiting for God to do something, and I'm just waiting for him to come back. Because I'm excited to go to eternity, are you? God's promised it. It's coming. Verse 3, he's born, and Abraham gave him the name Isaac, which means, thank you, you paid attention in the past sermons. Laughter. How would you like to, you walk around, what's up, laughter? Then you're laughing at him, and he's like, are you laughing at me or with me, right? But he's born, Abraham gives him the name Isaac. In verse 4, he's circumcised on the eighth day, just as God commanded him. So now Isaac is part of the covenant. And then verse 5, he's 100 years old. I don't know about you, but I haven't met anybody at 100 that just had their a kid. Have you? Anybody? Huh? That's something to laugh at, right? Abraham was 100 years old. An old man. But what did we learn about in a previous chapter when he's saying it? It says, the Lord said, nothing is too hard for me. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. And this is evidence of it. At 100 years old and Sarah in her 90s have a child. Wow, right? Scripture is not boring. When somebody says scripture is old and boring, it's not. It's exciting. Verses 6 and 7, you have God, Sarah saying this, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. Wow. When have you had a good laugh lately? Anybody? On vacation, there was some laughter. Rob Lacey put it this way, which I love how he put it. Sarah's giggling. God's reinstalled my laugh. Everyone who gets word will join in. Who'd have thought breastfeeding in my 80s? I can't get my head around it. I've given my man a son when they all thought he was past it. Sarah's laughing and she's like, everybody who hears about this is going to laugh with me. In another person, I love what people write because how many of you like to read books? Okay, here's what another person wrote about this story. He's writing the story. He says this, and before the day was over, Sarah's joy grew too great to be contained. The old woman laughed. She covered her face and laughed soundlessly so that the entire company fell silent, thinking she was crying. But then she rose up and clapped her hands and sang, God has made laughter for me. Oh, laugh with me. Let everyone who hears my story laugh. Sisters, sisters, where was your faith? Who guessed yesterday that Sarah would suckle a child today? Yet I have borne my husband an heir in his old age. Oh, it's exciting, isn't it? Sarah's like, God has brought me laughter. I remember earlier she was like, I didn't laugh. And now she's laughing probably nonstop because it happened. It's literally in her arms. The baby is in her arms. Isaac is born, and she's like, everybody's going to be laughing with me with this. A good laughter. Not some maybe like doubting laughter, but it's exciting, truthful laughter. There is joy in this place in her life. There was a time, I'm going to bring you back, and you'll hopefully enjoy this story because I embellish it a little bit because it's joyful to me. It's a room in a hospital in Louisville in 2019. And my mom and Kelsey's mom are in the room and Kelsey's about to deliver our third child. And the doctor's not the real doc, the head doctor, okay? She's off in the corner, it seems like. And it's a training hospital. So there's another person going to deliver the baby, not the head doctor. And I'm standing there, and I swear to you, I shouldn't say that, but the door was open, and people were just coming in. I mean, everybody was coming into this room, and I was like, what is going on? There was cotton candy vendors, popcorn vendors. And I'm like, what kind of hospital is this? It was packed in this room. And I look over on you know, when the table that's going to, where they put the baby to wrap it up and then put it back in the mom's arms. I looked over and there was like a pink, mostly pink and blue hat over there. I'm like, okay, it's going to be a girl. And if, bring you back to the story, before Beatrice was born, Kelsey said, you got the boy's name. If it's a boy, you got to name it. And I had no name. And when I looked over there and I was like, oh, it's mostly pink. That's a sign. It's a girl. And then Beatrice is born. And you know what the name Beatrice means? Bringer of joy. Does she bring you joy? Candy lovers out there? Or candy givers out there? But that, when I share the story, I go too far with it, but it brings me joy because that place seemed like it was packed full of people, and I'm just like, this is a place to be, this birth. I did have some cotton candy, so. But laughter, joy is in Sarah's life now. She's like, it was promised, and now it happened. I'm old. And then you get verses 8 through 21, which is, it's hard to read sometimes. But there's truth packed in it from God. Abraham sends Hagar and Ishmael away. Why? First, Isaac's weaned, and Abraham held a great feast. He celebrated that this son is born. A lot of food. There's a cause for celebration. And then verse 9 and 10 comes, and but Sarah. My favorite three-letter word in the Bible, but, because there's a transition there. And but Sarah saw something happening. Now, you have to realize, how old is Ishmael at this time? Probably 16 or 17. And Isaac is 3 or 4. And they're brothers or half-brothers. And Ishmael is mocking the younger son. He's laughing at him. Not a good laughter. There's a lot of laughter in these sections. This is not good laughter. He's mocking the younger son. If you want a good rendition of it, maybe the Action Bible is in front of you, pages you can read about when Ishmael gets sent off later on. It's page 60, I think it is. But he's mocking him, and Sarah says, Abraham, you got to get rid of this slave woman and her son. Get rid of them because of what's happening. And then verse 11 through 13, what does it say? The matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. Is Ishmael his son? For 16 or 17 years maybe, he's seen Ishmael grow up. He's seen what man he is growing up to be. Spent time together, and he is distressed. Then you get verse 12. What does it say? But God. Earlier, but Sarah saw it happening, but now you have, but God said to Abraham, don't be distressed about the boy and your slave woman. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. But verse 13, I will make the son of the slave into a nation also, because he is your offspring. So Abraham was distressed, and God comes to him and says, don't be distressed. One preacher said, husbands, listen to your wives, because it's a good thing. God says, listen to Sarah. She's telling you something that's true. You need to do what she says. Isaac is the promised son, but Ishmael's not going to go without a blessing. He's going to become a nation. In verse 14, he has this, so Abraham, I don't know what this looked like, but the next morning he takes some food and a skin of water and he gives it to Hagar, and then he gets the boy and sends them away. I don't know what I would have felt like. They've been Ishmael's 16 years. This is life. But now I have to send them away? That's hard. Like I said, it's the Action Bible 60 to 63. I read it this morning. Very good. In pictures, and it shows what's happening there. It's a good rendition. So look at it in the Action Bible if you want to. Even now, you can go ahead. 60 to 63. But he sends it, Hagar and Ishmael away. He gives Hagar food and water for the journey ahead. Now, does Abraham know what's going to happen on the journey? No. But he just has to send them away because God says, listen to Sarah, do what she is saying to do. And then 15 and 16 come, and Hagar thinks Ishmael's going to die, so she puts him under a bush or a tree, and then goes and sits down, and she doesn't want to watch Ishmael die. She thought the worst, okay? She was sobbing, the boy was sobbing. And then 17 and 18, the first two words are so, so, so comforting. What does it say? God heard the boy crying. And the angel of God called to Hagar. I'm going to shout it with an exclamation point. God heard. Didn't leave them. God heard the boy came to Hagar. The angel of God came to Hagar and says, your boy, lift him up, take him by the hand. I'm going to make him into a great nation. He's not going to die. And then 19 comes, a more comfort. But before that, remember Genesis 16, who came to Hagar then? The angel of the Lord comforted her, says, go back to Sarah. And then verse 19, what does it start like? This is exciting to me because God, what does it say? God opened her eyes. Who's opening her eyes? God, does he open our eyes sometime today? God opened Hagar's eyes and he provided water for the boy. She saw a well of water. She went, filled the skin, gave it to the boy to drink. And what does 20 say? God was with the boy as he grew up. Who was with Ishmael? God. Ishmael's still in the story. Didn't die. Still in the story. God was with him. Isn't it? Is my mic going? God hears and God opens and God's with Hagar and Ishmael. They're not out of the story. And then you get to 22 to 34 and there's a treaty made. There's a tree planted. Now, some commentators go back and forth. I believe it's the same Abimelech as you learned last week. That's what I think. Okay, just my opinion. It's the same Abimelech. And they make a treaty. Abraham makes a treaty at Beersheba with him. And then you get to the end and it says, after the treaty had been made at Beersheba, Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his forces, returned to the land of the Philistines. And what is verse 33? Plants a tree. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there he called on the name of the Lord, the eternal God. He makes this treaty with Abimelech and the people there. That's a treaty is like an alliance or a league with the Philistines. Okay? He calls on the name of the Lord. Builds in all, he worships God, and he plants a tree. Anybody know what a tamarisk tree? How long does it take to grow? It's a long time. It takes a long time to grow. It's going to be there a long time and gets big. And what does it say? Abraham lived in the land of the Philistines, what? A long time. He probably saw that tree grow. He worships the eternal God. He stays put in the land for a long time. Now, I don't know how long he's staying in the land of the Philistines, but I was thinking of the Philistines. Are they still in the story later on? Are they friendly with Israel? They're enemies. And you know the most famous Philistine, right? Goliath, and David slays him. But Abraham is living in the land of the Philistines for a long time. He makes a treaty with eventually enemies, right? I don't know where to go with that, but I thought about that. The Philistines are mentioned here, and they're later on too. They're in the story. Scripture is just full of connections. And don't forget, when something's said in a text early on, it might come up later, these people or names or places, because everything's important in the Bible, correct? Now, you see the title again, company. They're like, what does that have to do with company? What should we learn from this story of Abraham? Here's in the text that we can draw from it. God is the best company you can have in this life. Here's what God brings to the table. Number one, if you're writing things down, this is what God brings to the table. Number one, grace. He came to Sarah graciously. God is a God of grace. Amen. If God wasn't a God of grace, we would not be here. Okay? Right? God is a God of grace. He brings, number two, to the table. He brings joy. Sarah experienced joy. Right? Do you experience joy when you're in the company of God? The Strive Study Bible on my shelf has this note. The truth is that every good thing in life comes from God. Whatever brings you true joy arrives courtesy of God. When I experience joy, I'm like, thank you, Lord, for that. Do you do the same? He brings joy to the table. Number three, he brings relief. Verses 11 through 13, Abraham's distressed, but God says, don't be afraid. Don't just do what Sarah is telling you to do. He brings relief from situations. One of the, you know, we did a whole lot of study on it Thursday morning, last year, about Matthew chapter, help me out, Thursday morning. What was that verse we did like all year? Matthew chapter 11, where it says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. There's relief when we come to God. And Jesus is God, right? We come to Jesus and we find relief. And then number four, God brings provision. Hagar and Ishmael get sent away, but who provides water for them? God. Jesus taught his disciples and us how to pray. What's one of the lines in there? Give us today our daily bread. God provides. He brings that to the table. And number five, lastly, he brings to the table relationship, faithfulness, trustworthiness. I clump them together because I think they're the same. If you're in a relationship with God, he's faithful and he's trustworthy. And God, and Abraham calls on the name of the Lord, the eternal God. He calls on him. A good friend of mine, Vic Welch, gave me this book in 2025. And I finally picked it up and started reading it on my vacation, and I'm almost done with it. But this is the chapter entitled The Faithfulness of God. And I like how A.W. Tozer put it. He says this at the very end of the chapter about the faithfulness of God. The tempted, the anxious, the fearful, the discouraged may all find new hope and good cheer in the knowledge that our Heavenly Father is faithful. He will ever be true to his pledged word. The hard-pressed sons of the covenant may be sure that he will never remove his loving kindness from them, nor suffer his faithfulness to fail. God is faithful. Abraham had a relationship with God. Later on in the Bible, they call him a friend of God. Are you in relationship faith? Are you in a relationship with God? Is God a company with you? He's the best company there is, right? He brings grace, joy, relief, provision, relationship, faithfulness, trustworthiness. I can't even say that word. Trustworthiness to the table. In my Bible reading this year, I'm reading through the Message Bible all the way through. And I'm in the Psalms right now, and I read this past week. The NIV says this, take delight, Psalm 37:5, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Here's the Message, and I was like, no, this week when I'm talking about company and you say this, paraphrase, it fits, okay? Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That's the NIV. The Message says this, keep company with God. Get in on the best. I was like, I needed that. Because when you're a preacher and you're trying to just preach your heart out, and you're like, I hope the takeaways stick with my own life and the people that hear it, but that I needed that keep company with God. He's the best company there is. And on our vacation, I had some good company with family. I have good company when I'm reading scripture with my neighbor. I have good company when we have people over our house. Do you have good company? But God is the best. And when it's a part of that, even the part of our own company, like you have company with other people and God is in the mix, it's even better. So as an invitation, Jesus is good company. I know that's not the best word to do that, but Jesus is good company. Proverbs 18:24, it says this, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I believe Jesus sticks closer than a brother. He saves people. If we repent and believe in Jesus and confess him as Lord and Savior, then we go to the waters of baptism and we're baptized into his name and raised to a new life, forgiven, and the gift of the Holy Spirit is ours. He saves us. And then Jesus leads us as a church. He's the head, not me, not you. He's the head. And we follow his leading. And then when we go to him in prayer, go to God in prayer, Jesus intercedes for us. He's good company. He's the best too, because he's God. I started with words from Douglas McKelvey, and I'm going to end with his words. And it says this, he calls it, for remembrance of God's faithfulness. I give you praise, O Lord, for your faithfulness across the years. You are no less present now than you have ever been. Grant me every grace this day requires. He's faithful. God is the best company that we can ever have. And I believe that we learned that from Genesis 21, because God is in the story. It's his story, and he's working through these people's lives, and he's there with them. And he's going to be there for you too. Amen. God, thank you so much for this time that we can gather together. Today's celebrating our birthdays. We thank you for each that are here that we're getting a year older, but you're the best company. Help us to follow you, because you are a gracious God. You bring joy. You bring relief. You provide for us. And we want to be in relationship with you because you're faithful and trustworthy. Help us to follow you today. Thank you for Jesus. He saves us. He leads us. He intercedes for us. We say amen to that. Help us today to trust you and follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Daryl and Chris, kind of, they said renewal or become new members, but I think they've been members
long time.
They help us. They help me grow. I know they do a lot anyway, but they want to come and kind of make it formal so we can invite them into the fellowship of Ferris Church of Christ and the family that is here.
Company.
Good. I hope we're good company. I think we are. I believe we are.
Loving. Sharing.
Loving, sharing, kind. That's what they want from this family, and I believe it's here. So they're just going to repeat after me the good confession, which I know they believe. So if you want to do, you can do it in unison or popcorn. I don't care. So I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Son of the living God.
Amen. So as we celebrate our birthdays, just so you know, me and Daryl have the same birthday.
Yeah.
We were born in the same year, too.
Yeah. No.
So let's celebrate. I'm going to pray for Daryl, Chris, and Melinda and join us as a church family, but I'm also going to pray for the food. So when we get back there, you don't have to be like, are we going to pray for the food yet? So it's already prayed for. So let's pray. God, thank you so much for today, your loving kindness and faithfulness to us. Thank you for Daryl, Chris, and Melinda. Just as we welcome them into this church family, may we come alongside of them, encourage them as they have been to us already. But thank you for your love and faithfulness. May you be with the time around the tables as we celebrate everybody's birthday, and just help us to fellowship well in good company. And you are the best company. Be with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. May the peace of Christ be with you.